and welcome to Open Mic here on Morehead State Public Radio. I'm your host, Leanne Akers, and today we're visiting with Dr. Julia Finch, who's, among other things, the interim director of the Kentucky Folk Arts Center here in Morehead. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Leanne.
Now, the Kentucky Folk Arts Center has been a staple of downtown Morehead for a number of years, but it's the fate of the center has been in a state of flux for a few years now, starting maybe about 4 years ago when the state cut funding for the facility. And I think some members of the community expected to lose the Folk Arts Center at that time. But it's been somewhat revitalized in the last year, quietly, I might add. So first, let's talk a little bit about the restructuring and how the facility is being supported at this time.
Yes, so you're right. About 5 years ago, 4 or 5 years ago, we had some state funding that was cut specifically for the Folk Art Center. And that was pretty devastating at the time for the staff that was being managed by that state funding. And so there were some cutbacks, and the university had to step up to kind of keep things going through that time while we were managing the loss of the state budget cuts. At that time, I was not, really a part of the Folk Art Center. I was using it in my classes as a professor in the Department of Art and Design. But there were some shifts in how the operation was being managed. What's happened since then is that the university has continued to support the building, the structure, to give us a staff position working there. But as you know, we've been closed for the last year, due to COVID, and we were kind of using that time, as you said, quietly during the pandemic to try to figure out a way to propose a new plan going forward, right? We understand that everyone who is invested in the Folk Art Center from the community level through the university really wants the building to stay open, wants the center to stay operational. It is an important part of Morehead and the cultural life of Morehead for sure. So we're doing a little bit of restructuring. We've created what we're calling a 3-year interim plan. So I'll be in the position of director for 3 years. We've got Melissa Youngbluth, who is the gallery director of the Claypool Young Gallery up on campus. She also teaches in the Department of Art and Design, and she's been involved in a number of public art projects in Morehead recently. She'll be coming on to work with us as a curator and helping us with the collection itself. Susan Hawkins, who's a previous employee of the Folk Art Center, will be returning as our educational outreach to try to help reestablish those connections with local schools. And then, of course, Tammy Stone has been there for years and years, and she's really keeping the operations afloat for us now. She's still considered part-time staff there. So with this kind of interim crew, we're going to move forward. And we've been working to kind of get some support back from the community. So I want to thank the Rowan County Fiscal Court. I want to thank the City of Morehead, and I want to thank Morehead Tourism as well for helping to finance and fund this new phase and helping us to get back on our feet. It really shows that the community is really invested in keeping the Folk Art Center alive.
I know that there was some discussion a few years back. The city and the county supported the Folk Art Center when they lost state funding. And then it was kind of like, well, wait a minute, what's the plan? And and then funding was kind of pulled back because there seemed to be no plan because there were no resources. But the community, although they briefly stopped supporting, financially supporting, there were a lot of members of the community who wanted to make sure that it didn't go away because it is important. So let's talk a little bit about why this facility is so important to the community.
So a little bit of the history of the collection. I mean, it really is just a regional resource. It's a gem for all of Eastern Kentucky. It's the only freestanding museum that features exclusively visual arts and culture in Eastern Kentucky. So some folks might not know that. There are a lot of other museums that focus on regional history, but this one is the only one that's exclusively dedicated to art. And so that's a really important and something we should be really proud of in Moorhead to offer this to the region. So it started in the 80s as a small collection. Many of you may know the folk artist Minnie Adkins. She was really instrumental in donating a bunch of her work and starting the Folk Art Center kind of in conjunction with the university. And so for a time, the collection lived in a couple different places on campus. And then in the 90s, they took over the old grocery building where it's currently located downtown. And that was a real strong phase for the Folk Art Center. There were a lot of visiting exhibitions that were coming through, bringing new artists into the region. We were strengthening the collection. And there was a lot of programming as well that was happening there as well. Folks would come and hear artists speak, for example, or hear poetry readings and things like that. So it really became a cultural hub at that point. And then just as you were saying, you know, through the years with the cuts in funding for the arts, it happens all over the place. But, you know, it was pretty devastating for the Folk Art Center for a time. But I think that we're starting to restructure and kind of renew our relationship with the university. So the Folk Art Center is a cultural outreach of Moorhead State University. It's part of the university. But the relationship has, you know, sometimes been a little bit complicated as to who's doing what and what is the plan, as you said, you know, kind of going forward. So now that we have this interim group in place, that will allow us to move forward with other things, with programming. You know, you need some staff to provide that programming, to provide that outreach, with looking for other grant opportunities. You know, that's something we've always got our eye on, with making other connections with other groups, with other funding sources. So it's our hope that over the next 3 years during this interim phase, we'll be able to, you know, kind of reestablish the Folk Art Center, reestablish operations, certainly reopen to the public and get people coming into the building again, and try to reconnect to the, you know, the people of Moorhead. And you know, we want to thank everyone for their patience, because it has been some trying times over the past few years. And certainly with the closure of everything due to COVID, you know, we're really excited to get some people back in the building and show you some things that maybe you haven't seen before and revisit some of your old favorites.
Now, you said before that the facility has been closed during the pandemic. And that's kind of like most things during the pandemic. They've not been open to the public, but that is about to change for the Folk Arts Center. The organization is going to start allowing people to come in, but obviously there's some work that needs to be done first. What are some things that are happening this summer?
Yes, so this summer we're going to be preparing for what I'm calling a soft reopening, kind of a community-centered reopening of the building, which is why we wanted to talk to MSPR, which is why we wanted to let you guys know what's going to be happening down there. For the month of June, for the rest of this month, we've thankfully got some student workers. We've got some workers that are funded by the university as well, student workers, and so it's going to be great to have them come in. We've got to do some cleanup of the facility. You know, having been closed for a while, we've got to just do some basic maintenance, but that won't be too big of a task. And we also have the university maintenance crew helping us out a bit with that. Our student workers are going to be doing inventory of the gift shop, but shortly thereafter, that will be open as well. So we love to have folks come in and shop for those special gifts that you can find. We're going to have some of our artists, again, selling their work there. So that'll be something to look forward to. And we're really hoping that by July, we'll be able to give you that official date of reopening, have some hours that can be, you know, regular, that you can know that we're going to be there, and be open. So this month is kind of a transitional month, but we want to let everyone know to just keep hanging on. We're almost there. We're almost ready to come back. And it's been very exciting just getting to this point, and the staff and the students that are going to get back into the building are really excited to start working on things.
Where's the best place for people to kind of keep up with what's happening? Is there a social media site that the organization utilizes the most?
Yeah, we do use a Facebook site, and that's where we really have our kind of latest up-to-date information. But you can also go to the website. It's one of the Morehead State University websites. But if you just Google Kentucky Folk Arts Center, it will take you right there. So we've got a lot of resources there that can hold you over in the meantime as well. We've got profiles of some of our artists. We have been making some short videos in conjunction with Steve Middleton and his students that are working in the social media program at Morehead State. They've helped us to produce some short videos just to tide people over during our closure. So we made a few for Women's History Month, for Black History Month, and we've got one that we're going to be recording this week for Pride Month. And so we're trying to highlight some of the connections we can make within the collection, within our folk artists and our untrained artists, and connect those out to some of the broader issues and concerns of the day. So you can find all of those things online, and really looking for the up-to-date information about when we're going to be reopening. We'll definitely let you know through Facebook, and Leanne, I'll let you know as well, and you can let the listeners know too when we have that date of reopening.
We will definitely do that. I want to talk a little bit about some of the things that are being planned for the fall, but first I want to take a quick break here on Open Mic. We'll be right back after this.
If you're downsizing and have a vehicle that doesn't run or is rarely used, donate it to the WMKY Vehicle Donation Program. Receive a tax credit and support WMKY programming at the same time. Donating is easy. Just call 855-WMKY-CAR or visit online at wmky.org. Your used vehicle will be picked up fast and conveniently. Call anytime at 855-WMKY-CAR or online at wmky.org.
And we're back here on Open Mic here at Morehead State Public Radio. I'm your host, Leanne Akers, and today we're visiting with Dr. Julia Finch, who is the interim director of the Kentucky Folk Arts Center here in Morehead. Thanks again for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
Now, the organization has been spending time closed during the pandemic to really plan and get things in place for when we can finally reopen. I feel like most organizations have been doing that. Like, what happens when we can go back to the quote unquote normal? I know that a lot of events are not really solidified yet, but what are some of the things that are being planned to happen this fall?
Yeah. So while we were closed, like many other folks, you know, we were trying to figure out different ways to reengage with the community. We wrote a grant proposal to the Sierra Club, who had some funding available for what they're calling arts and environmental education. So how can we bridge the arts and environmental education? And so we wrote a proposal. We received $9,000 with the potential for $6,000 more, so a $15,000 total grant for three phases of programming. And we're still in the planning phase for a lot of this, but the first phase will have to do with creating a community event that we really want to be open to all ages. And kind of our thinking about this event in conjunction with the Sierra Club is really thinking about this place, right? Thinking about Eastern Kentucky, thinking about Morehead, thinking about the things that tie us to this region. And so we want to create some programming that will connect people to maybe some forgotten crafts and trades, maybe some forgotten traditions. We want to bring, you know, music and the environment and some of those traditional ways of engaging with the land through gardening and farming and preserving and things like that. We want to tie that to some of the art of the region that features those very things. So the idea is kind of based in something called creative placemaking. We want to use the arts to tie us to the land a little bit. With all of that said, and this money being having been received from the Sierra Club, we've got some projects coming up for fall. One of them is going to be, you know, a family-oriented day, a day for all ages to come. We've got some different environmental educators coming to speak with us. We'll have a tour of the collection with highlights of some of the artists and the artwork that features connections to the land and ties to the land. Then we have a nature walk planned through downtown Moorhead and City Park to point out some of our native plants. And there's also a great new public art mural there, the winged animals of Kentucky. So we'll have a stop there as well. And then we'll invite families to participate in some other workshops as well, connected to traditional skills, such as canning and preservation of food. We're also tying this to the Moorhead Women's Park, because the Sierra Club has also given us some funding to explore planting a garden that has pollinators and local flowers and native plants as well there. So it would really be kind of a way to draw people into the Moorhead Women's Park, to draw people into the Folk Art Center, and then to get out and take a little walk and see how all of these places are connected. And so that would be coming up. We have plans for October. We don't have a specific date yet, but we're looking at early October. And as you said, Leanne, there's so much stuff that's still in flux with reopening and planning, post-pandemic. We're going to have some details for you soon, but that's something that's in the works, and we're really excited about that. We're excited about the support from the Sierra Club, and they're excited to work with us too. So that should be a fun event on the weekend. And again, as I mentioned, we want it to be family friendly. We want all ages. We want grandparents and parents and kids all participating and enjoying, thinking about how the environment and the arts are connected.
Now, I know that the Sierra Club has offered some support, the fiscal court, the city council all offered support, and the university really had a hand in helping the organization develop the plan.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So we're grateful to the support that we've had from the university, especially our associate dean in the School of Creative Arts, Brian Mason, our dean of the Cottle College, currently is Scott Davison, and Dr. Morgan, president of the university. They've all been really helpful in moving this along. We really kind of started from nothing. The staff was down to, one person. We had lost the director position, curator position, and some other positions due to cutbacks. So this interim plan moving forward is something that's just come out of the resources that we have at the university, which are some really great resources, and Melissa having all of this curatorial experience, and Susan having worked there before to do educational outreach. And one of the things that I'm working on as interim director is ways to connect some of the academic programs at the university with the Folk Art Center, so that we can be more than just that one day field trip that your art class takes, or that, that one time that you bring your parents to campus and you decide to go and visit the Folk Art Center. We really want to be integrated into the university as much as we can. So to that extent, I've started to reach out to some of the academic departments to build connections. One of the things that we're planning to do is to think about how various programs, various disciplines could benefit from having the Folk Art Center on campus so close. For example, I've reached out to folks in the nursing department, because there's a lot of research that for medical professionals, learning to look closely, learning to describe what you see, learning that kind of visual literacy can be very, very useful in a medical environment when you're having to describe the symptoms of a patient or things like that. So there's a lot of research about that. And I'm excited to partner with the nursing department, in the future, future. We've had some contact and we're hoping to get moving on that as well. Of course, we'll always be there for the art and design students. But you know, there are so many other ways that we can connect to different departments. History, of course, connecting to the regional history, literature as well. You know, we can connect and provide some of the visual counterparts to some of the literature that our students read at MSU. So, you know, I think that I was able to offer a professional development through the Faculty Center for Teaching and Learning last spring that talked about different ways that we can connect with departments and, you know, met and talked to a lot of other professors there. So hopefully we'll be able to create those connections.
I think the educational aspect of the Folk Arts Center is one of my favorite things about it. And I know Susan Hawkins did a lot of work with the area school systems. And as a parent who has a little man who really enjoys art endeavors of many different kinds, I'm very excited about the possibility of those opportunities reemerging as he, you know, gets ready to close out grade school. Are there things that are going to happen that were once in place as far as educational outreach with the K-12 education?
Yeah. So in addition to our university outreach, we're going to continue with K-12 outreach. Again, everything has taken a backseat with the, you know, past year or so, and for the schools as well. So Susan is a great point person because she's worked with the schools in the past. And what we will do is we will start to reopen for things like field trips, you know, locally within the county. And then also we draw from throughout the region as well. We will start to redevelop some of the outreach that we used to do in terms of the folk art kits and boxes that we can send out to other schools. So again, we will be, you know, kind of looking for the funding for those things. We have to start a little bit smaller than where we once were, but we're hoping to build up to that level of outreach again, and really excited to welcome some students back in and some field trips back in and have a chance to talk to them and to share the history of the Folk Art Center and to share, you know, folk art and untrained artists in general. It's a really fascinating, it's a fascinating type of visual output these artists do. And they're just really committed to creation without that formal training. And that's something that our students can kind of relate to and really like, I think.
And really quickly, just we're running out of time here on Open Mic, but I wanted to give you the opportunity to once again tell us where's the website and how do we keep up with the happenings at the Kentucky Folk Arts Center?
So we have a Facebook page, the Kentucky Folk Art Center Facebook page. That's really where you'll get the most up-to-date information of programming and reopening hours as soon as we get those things finalized. And you can also go through the university's Kentucky Folk Art page, where you'll find all kinds of resources, connections to those videos that I made. You can also connect to some of the previous catalogs that have been published through the Moorhead State ScholarWorks page. So there's just a ton of information there through the university website as well.
And unfortunately, that's all the time we have here on Open Mic here at Moorhead State Public Radio. I'm your host, Leanne Akers, and we've been visiting with Dr. Julia Fench, Interim Director of the Kentucky Folk Arts Center here in Moorhead. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for tuning in to Open Mic. Our show is produced by Greg Jenkins, and our theme music is Turtle in the Creek, composed by Galen Green and performed by The Wooks. Produced by Moorhead State Public Radio with the generous support of listeners just like you. We'll see you next Friday.